You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is exactly 9 o'clock on this Friday morning in Chicago. Heavy rain coming later on, along with very strong winds, and that's the weather forecast. And co-host today, Graziano Marcheschi, the Director of Ministerial Resource Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Graz.
I thought I do weather and you do sports.
You're right.
Because I can't do the sports. So.
That's right.
It's going to rain today.
And with sports, we have the Bulls playoffs beginning tomorrow, Hawks game 2 tonight. Cubs, Sox play this weekend. Both teams are doing very average. That's your sports report. And we have a very, very outstanding program lined up, a show in which I'm sure the callers will want to call in, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. In keeping with the Lenten practice of discipline and penance and anticipating the celebration of Holy Week, our topic this morning is forgiveness and reconciliation. Very, very important topics. In two segments, we will consider the concepts of forgiveness and repentance with two guests who have written on the subject and a talk with a priest, pastor, and liturgist later on the theological and pastoral aspects of the sacrament of reconciliation. But with us in studio, Dr. Troy Martin, professor in biblical studies at Xavier University in Chicago and co-author of the book Forgiveness, Finding Freedom Through Reconciliation. And Dr. Troy Martin has written numerous articles, including some that provide a biblical perspective on the issue of forgiveness. And we have by phone Joan McCamey, editor of periodicals at St. Anthony Messenger Press Franciscan Communications. Joan edited the March issue of Everyday Catholic on the topic of forgiveness. Joan is a former teacher, youth minister, and parish DRE who holds a master's degree in pastoral family studies. To Troy and Joan, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you, Greg, and congrats.
Great to have you both here with us. Let me begin, Troy. We've heard so often the word forgiveness, the word reconciliation. In your own words, and also what I want Joan to add, is why the need to ask forgiveness or to forgive another person?
All right. Well, forgiveness is a very important aspect of our spiritual lives. Quite often as we're going through life, we find ourselves either hurting someone else or being hurt by someone else. And suddenly our relationship with another person is fractured, and there's a problem there. And the flow of love and trust is no longer able to go between us. And so we need some kind of mechanism for restoring that relationship, for finding some kind of reconciliation with that person. And forgiveness is the mechanism that enables us to restore that relationship to the well-being that it had before.
You know, Troy, as I think about forgiveness, it seems that there's a lot of misconceptions in the culture about forgiveness. One is that you don't need it. You know, some people think that they're entitled to their anger. You know, if someone does you wrong, you have a right to pay them back. I used to teach high school, and teaching high school boys, that was a fairly common phrase you would hear. You know, somebody does you wrong, you have a right, an obligation almost to pay them back. So that seems to be one thing. The other is, there seems to be this easy forgiveness that comes from Jesus. People look at Scripture, look at the New Testament, and they think that Jesus just had a bag full of forgiveness and just kind of threw it out like seeds, and you didn't have to do anything. It just falls upon you. I'm not sure that that's the whole story. Can you comment on either or both of those notions?
Yes, I'd be happy to, Grat. Well, the first one, that we have some kind of right to our anger. Certainly when people hurt us, we get angry. And if we ignore that anger and kind of stuff it down inside of us, it leads to bitterness and all kinds of bad kind of things. So that's not a good way to approach it. And so then many people switch to this cheap kind of forgiveness. And we've heard that phrase, forgive and forget, let bygones be bygones. And I recall the first time that I went to Scripture to find that phrase and discovered that it wasn't there, I was quite surprised. And so I began a search to see when's the first time that phrase came into the tradition. And there's a book of Proverbs written by John Hayward in the 16th century that has forgive and forget, let bygones be bygones. And that was the first time I found it. And I was surprised that it wasn't in Scripture or before that. And what's happened, I think, in our culture is that we've adopted this cheap forgiveness, which is just forgive. And it's an intrapsychic kind of process where we have to do it in our own mind. It's up to us if we've been hurt to somehow generate some kind of positive effect for the person who harmed us. But as my co-author Avis Clendenin and I looked at forgiveness in the biblical and Christian tradition, we discovered that forgiveness is interpersonal. It always happens in an exchange between two people. It isn't just something that happens in a person's own head or mind or life. It's an interpersonal kind of exchange.
Let me ask you this, Joan. We're talking about, as Troy's mentioning, about forgiveness and interpersonal. A lot of times people say, you know, I can forgive you, but I will never forget.
Yes. I was thinking about that earlier and in relation to some of the hurts that I've experienced, actually. And I don't think that we have to forget, and in some cases we shouldn't forget. I was thinking about an incident when I was newly allowed to ride my bike on the road. I lived in the country growing up on a farm, and a big dog, and I'm sure that it was a friendly dog, came bounding toward me and knocked me off of my bike. Well, from that point on, I was anxious around large dogs and dogs that were overly friendly. I needed to remember that because I'd had an experience that had been frightening and painful to me. And I think when other people hurt us, the dog was not, dog just...
being himself
of needing to remember, so that I have appropriate caution. Not that I can't forgive, not that I needed to forgive the dog, but not that a person can't forgive, but I think to have some appropriate caution if we're going to remain in relationship with a person. Maybe we need to lower our expectations of what we might be able to get out of that relationship. But I think caution is not a bad thing.
I'll give you an example, Joan. It's interesting, I haven't thought about this in years. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I was bit by a dog. Mm. And to this day, when I'm around a dog, large dog, small dog, size is irrelevant, I instinctively get a bit defensive. And see, dogs sense that. That makes now the dog uncomfortable, and I get more uncomfortable. But the dog has done nothing. But going back to my childhood, when I was bit by this dog, I just get defensive around dogs, and it's not that I want to. It's just almost innate within me because of that experience getting bit when I was about 5 or 6 years old. You know, two lines that really are so pivotal when you're dealing with forgiveness, when of course we want to talk about the Christ dimension. One line is, forgiving is a way to stop hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiving is a way to stop hurting. Another line that's a beautiful line is, forgiveness is a gift to oneself.
Absolutely.
Forgiveness is a gift to oneself. And we're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Markeski, and our guests are Dr. Troy Martin and Joan McCamey. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Maybe you've got a call from a listener or two on what does forgiveness mean to you? Do you find forgiveness easy or hard? And why will you or won't you forgive? We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
The Bank of America Chicago Marathon, taking place on Sunday, October 9th, is sold out, but Team Catholic Charities has post-close entries. By joining Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, welcoming you on this Friday morning, this brisk morning, and thanking you for spending this part of your day with us. I'm here with Father Greg Sakowitz, our anchor, and we're talking to Dr. Troy Martin of St. Xavier University, who, together with Dr. Avis Clendenin, has written a book on forgiveness. We also have by phone Joan McCamey, of St. Anthony Messenger Press. We've got a caller on the line, Nick from Chicago. You've got a comment about forgiveness. What do you got to say?
Good morning, Nick.
Hello, everyone. You know, something that has been bothering me, I really appreciate the fact that you talked about it's between two people. Forgiveness has to be interpersonal. So how about those situations when we are, it happened before we were married, and something that probably wouldn't be appropriate to go back to another person and have this deep, intimate, you know, conversation with an ex or something like that. Is there that kind of forgiveness where you can settle it within yourself and pray for the person and try to go forward rather than to, you know, interact with that person and have that deep conversation rather than do it that way?
Yeah, thanks, Nick, for your comment, because you pointed out an important situation. You know, forgiveness is not easy because we get hit by all kinds of different situations in which forgiveness plays a part. And it is interpersonal. It happens between two people. And you're asking what you do whenever the other person either is not available or it's not appropriate for us to go to that person. What do we do? Well, the culture says just forgive in your own mind. But the problem with that is, whatever you do in your own mind really is not restoring that relationship with the other person. And if you do have a situation where you know it's just not possible for you to extend forgiveness and for the other person to receive it, one of the things we suggest in the book is to do what Jesus did on the cross when he looked out on that crowd that was crucifying him, and he said, "Father, forgive them." Now, I'd always read that as Jesus looking out on that crowd saying, "I forgive you," but that's not what he says. He says, "Father, forgive them." And then if you look in the second chapter of Acts, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he confronts that crowd and says to the crowd, "You murdered Jesus. Now repent and be forgiven." What Jesus did on the cross was he transferred the responsibility of forgiveness to God. And when Jesus could no longer hold those people accountable, he transferred the responsibility of forgiveness to God. And in the book, what we suggest is, if you're in a situation and forgiveness for toward another person is not possible for whatever reason, then one of the things that we need to do is to transfer the responsibility to God. And that enables us to say the situation is not fixed, the relationship is still broken, but we're no longer going to take responsibility for fixing it. It's up to God to provide the context and the grace and a moment in which we could extend forgiveness to that person and that person could receive it.
Nick, I want to thank you very much for that outstanding question and comment. Joan, would you like to add to what Troy has said and help a response for Nick?
Well, I think that that what Troy said was very insightful. I consider also that there might be as Rick said, an ex or someone who has passed away who has hurt us, where a true reconciliation between us is not possible. Troy's perspective on that scripture and Jesus' words on the cross are new to me, and I really appreciate that as an additional listener here. I think that sometimes, though, we also need to, we need to ask God to help us in that situation, certainly. But in order for us to let go of, if we're the one who needs to forgive, to let go of that grip that hurt has on us, if we desire to forgive, God will certainly help us to do that. And if it's inappropriate to or impossible to because of death or distance or just that the other person really couldn't enter into a real, some people just can't.
You know, Joan, you said something that's extremely important. You know, I've made the comment before, what are those things in life that own us? Anger can own us.
Absolutely.
Bitterness can own us. An unforgiving heart can own us. And so I've made the comment, we need your phrase to let it go. What are those things that own us? If we don't let it go, it will own us. And when something owns us, we're not free.
That's right. There's a quote that I love by Lewis Smead. I have no idea who this man is, but I love what he said. He says, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you."
Mm-hmm. Say that line again, Joanne.
To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. So we're not so much, sometimes I think we're doing the other person a favor by offering them forgiveness, and certainly they benefit from our forgiveness, especially if we're in ongoing relationship with them. But we benefit personally by letting go of that. Otherwise, we're held in the grip of that.
Amen. Troy, I wanted to explore the second half of that final line of Jesus from the cross, or one of the final lines. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Yes.
Talk about that part of it. Is Jesus saying they don't recognize the full enormity of what they're doing? And if so, what about when people do know what they're doing and they go ahead and do it anyway?
Yes. And this brings up an important distinction that we need to make. Forgiveness and exoneration are not the same thing. And quite often people today confuse the two.
Okay, differentiate the two, Troy.
All right. Exoneration is simply saying to another person, "I'm no longer going to hold you accountable for what you did to me." It's not forgiveness. In other words, we're not forgiving them and they're not receiving our forgiveness and the relationship isn't restored. We're simply saying, "I'm no longer going to hold you accountable." And for a number of reasons. Perhaps the person has Alzheimer's. I mean, you know, if they're saying bad things to us and we realize they have Alzheimer's, we can exonerate them. But forgiveness is probably not possible because the other person isn't able to engage in that exchange with us. And so Jesus from the cross, if you take those last words, you could interpret it as though Jesus is exonerating that crowd. But I don't think that's actually what happened, because on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up, he doesn't say you're exonerated. He actually says you murdered Jesus. So I think your last statement, Gratz, is probably more correct, that Jesus is saying they don't understand what they're doing, but nevertheless, they are culpable for what they're doing. And he transfers the responsibility of their forgiveness to God.
All right, but go that next step. What if they do understand? Is the culpability different?
It is, and this is the problem, I think, about letting go when the other person is not repentant. It makes the victim feel re-victimized. I've dealt with a number of rape victims, and to say to that rape victim, you must forgive the rapist, when the rapist is not at all repentant, really re-victimizes them, and it almost forces them to recognize that an unjust situation is okay when it's not.
Yeah.
And that's where I think this notion of transferring the responsibility of forgiveness to God has really liberated a lot of those women, because they can transfer, they can say, what happened to me was not right, and this person who did this has never taken the steps to make it right with me. And but I can't carry it any longer, because, as you say, Greg, you know, you get eaten up with this bitterness and this anger, and it owns you. So you've got to get it out of your life somehow. And you do that by transferring the responsibility of making that situation right to God. Then the victim can go on with their life and still look, when they think of that moment and the pain, remind God, but it's yours now. So you've got to make the place for this to be right, if it's ever to be made right.
Very, very helpful. We need to go to a break. We'll be back in just a few moments and continue this very important conversation on forgiveness and repentance. Don't go away.
Tour rooms of antique mechanical curiosities from Victrolas to steam engines at the magical San Filippo Estate Saturday, May 21st at Catholic Charities Hearts for Homeless Families fundraiser. The dazzling event benefits programs that help the homeless in Northwest Cook County. The ticket price of $175 per person includes an extensive tour, elegant dinner, and lively auction emceed by radio personality Gary Meyer. For more information, visit catholiccharities.net/hearts or call 847-376-2118.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
This Lenten season, join millions of Catholics throughout the U.S. in a 30-year tradition within the Catholic Church. Catholic Relief Service's Operation Rice Bowl program. Lent isn't just about giving something up, it's also about doing something positive. Operation Rice Bowl provides a way to embrace traditional themes of Lent through praying with others, fasting, and giving alms while learning about our global community. Celebrate the holy season of Lent by becoming a part of the Operation Rice Bowl community today. Visit www.crs.org to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time is exactly 9:23 on this cold, rainy, windy day here in Chicago. And co-host Grazia Marcheschi and our guest are Dr. Troy Martin and Joan McCamey. We're dealing with this topic of forgiveness and reconciliation. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Your questions or comments regarding forgiveness, reconciliation. Do you find it hard to forgive? Wonderful question is, as we get older, is life making us bitter or better? And along those grounds, Troy, is as a priest, I'm gifted with being able to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation with people, God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. And I've had on more than one occasion someone say to me, what I'm about to say to you, God could never forgive me. So it automatically tells me they're not able to forgive themselves. So I always say, God loves you, God forgives you always, but we have to be able to forgive ourselves. Say something about that, Troy.
All right. One of the prerequisites for receiving forgiveness, I mean, God is willing to forgive us for anything. God is willing to extend this forgiveness. But one of the prerequisites for our receiving forgiveness is genuine repentance. Unless we genuinely repent, we're not really able to receive that forgiveness. And repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry. I mean, that's the first step, recognizing we've done something wrong and feeling a sense of uneasiness about it. That's the first step. But repentance is more than that. It involves a change of our whole understanding about what we did. And we come to own it, and we admit, I did this, I own it, I caused this hurt, I caused this pain. And once we own that and admit it to God, God comes and forgives us. And then we have to be willing to say, okay, I accept this gift of forgiveness. It's an exchange that takes place, and it takes both, it's on God's part and on our part as well.
Troy, can you connect that to the woman caught in adultery? I think oftentimes that's a story that's used to maybe espouse that cheap kind of forgiveness that you were talking about earlier, because the woman doesn't do anything but lay there on the ground where she's been thrown by the religious leaders. And Jesus says, has anyone condemned you? No, well, then I don't condemn you either. Is she forgiven? And if so, how and why?
Yes. Well, and the important thing is Jesus says to her, go and sin no more. And so this is really the test of her repentance. Repentance involves doing something, trying to make whatever damage we've caused, trying to make it as right as we can. And I think Jesus' statement to her, go and sin no more, takes it out of that cheap grace kind of category, because it's up to her now to change her life and to start making better decisions that are not so destructive for herself. And so I would say that scripture actually is a demonstration that there's quite a lot of obligation on our part when it comes to forgiveness and being forgiven by God.
You know, Joan, in your March issue of Everyday Catholic, and the whole topic was on forgiveness, if you were to summarize that entire issue in one or two key bullet points about forgiveness, what would they be?
Well, the entire issue, man, thank you for for a morning challenge there. I think that a few important things is that we all know forgiveness is hard, that we need to pray about it, we need to ask for forgiveness, and we need to offer forgiveness. Those are key points that Father Paul Boudreau offers in the main article there. That those are all steps to really embracing forgiveness, forgiving ourselves, forgiving other people, accepting God's forgiveness. And that if we don't, as I mentioned with that Smead's quote earlier, we are prisoners of that hardness of heart. If we, I know you said two bullet points. I'm sorry. One more thing.
Oh, that's the only thing.
And this occurred to me as Troy was talking, that if we say God could never forgive me, we are putting limits on God, and I think we get hung up because we're stuck in not being able to forgive ourselves, or we're stuck in not being able to forgive other people, and so then we put a limit on God's ability to forgive us, and think that there's no way God could forgive us. But we need to work on our own personal healing, our own efforts to forgive ourselves and forgive others, and open our minds and our hearts to what's possible with God, as far as God forgiving us as well. And there's a lot of healing and a lot of reconciled relationships that can come as a result of that.
Troy, which do you think is more difficult, to forgive someone who's injured you or to say I'm sorry when you know you've injured someone else?
Yeah. Well, I think the whole issue of forgiveness is difficult on both ends, and it requires quite a bit of humility on our part. In our book on forgiveness, Avis and I talk a lot about the various guides that help us through this process. It's not easy. But I do think that if we begin in some of the smaller issues of our life, rather than trying to tackle something huge, if we begin in some of the smaller issues of our life and begin to work through those and see how it works, we learn the practice of forgiveness, which it's an art. It's a practice. It's something we learn. It's not something that comes naturally to us.
We need to bring this segment to a close, and just a few sources here. Through the Franciscan Press, please go to www.AmericanCatholic.org, AmericanCatholic.org, which will give plenty of resources in dealing with the area of forgiveness and reconciliation. Also with Dr. Troy Martin, his book entitled Forgiveness, Finding Freedom Through Reconciliation, and also a second book that was written by Dr. Troy Martin and his daughter, Andrea Olger, and I Promise to Hate, Despise, and Abuse You Until Death Do Us Part. Marriage in a Narcissistic Age. Both books can be found where, Troy?
Yes, they can be found online at www.bookendpublishers.com.
One more time.
www.bookendpublishers.com.
I want to thank in a very special way our guest, Dr. Troy Martin, and also Joan McCamey on the subject of forgiveness and reconciliation. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi. Our phone number 312-255-8 408. The topic of forgiveness will continue after the break with Father Ron Lewinsky. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Lent begins as ashes are applied in the shape of a cross to the foreheads of Catholics. We'll talk with Cardinal George about this solemn season. Do you want to see Michelangelo's famous Pietà without traveling to Rome? We'll show you how to experience the next best thing. And Chicago's Father Augustus Toten is a step closer to sainthood.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese-organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father, Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Marcheschi. Our topic this morning, forgiveness and reconciliation that connects not only every day of the year as we move now next week into Holy Week and then the Triduum and giving way to Easter morn. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Please call with a comment or question for Father Ron Lewinsky, who was our next guest, outstanding priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago and pastor at St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish in Mundelein. And Father Ron holds a licentiate in sacred theology and also serves as an archdiocesan dean and president of the Frasetti Catholic Academy, the first archdiocesan Catholic middle school. Father Ron has served as the director of Chicago's Office for Divine Worship and has taught liturgy and sacraments at Mundelein Seminary and Loyola University and the Chicago Diaconate Formation Program. And Father Ron has also served as an ad hoc committee for the U.S. Bishops Committee on Divine Worship and the Advisory Board of Notre Dame's Center for Liturgy. And Grass, I think it's time for a break. Wow. What do you do in your spare time, Father Ron Lewinsky?
That's a good
Welcome.
Question.
Yeah. And that's not even all of it.
No, but Ron is an excellent, phenomenal priest of the Archdiocese. Ordained, what, 1972?
That's right.
7 years before me. Well, welcome to the program, Ron.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You know, guys, I've for a lot of years, I've dedicated my ministry to the empowerment of laity for ministry. But the one thing that I've always been keenly aware of in the difference between ordained ministry and lay ministry is the privilege that you guys have, as well as the great responsibility to affect the sacrament of reconciliation. It seems like it would be the one thing that makes priesthood worthwhile more than anything else. I'm sure there's lots of things, but that just seems like such an awesome privilege. So I'd just like to ask, Ron, if you could start by just reflecting a little bit on your experience of being a confessor and being that channel of God's grace for people.
Well, it is certainly an awesome experience and humbling, I would say, too. So many times as I listen to people truly share their life and confess their sins, I'm humbled and recognize that often enough I'm in the presence of someone who's very holy. And that in turn has really called me to sort of examine my own conscience. And the other thing, I guess, that I've always been touched by, and I really truly believe in the power, the grace of that sacrament and the power of orders, is that I sometimes surprise myself as I reflect back on what I said to that individual, that somehow or another I was able to say the right thing at the right time. And I truly believe that that's, you know, God at work in that experience. So I guess for me, it gives me great hope that the people of God really are taking this seriously. And we really do have holy people, saints out there. And that gives me courage to really be a priest.
You know, the common wisdom is that in this post-Vatican II world, the sacrament has fallen into disuse. Is that still the case? Do you see a change happening in the way people approach the sacrament?
Yes, I think that that's true. I think there are fewer people coming to take advantage of the sacrament. But I would say in the 39 years that I have been a priest, those who do come, the quality of those confessions, if you can speak about it in that way, are really much more profound. They're less rote. They really reflect a deeper thinking and all. I would say that if the sacrament is not in use, it's not because there's something wrong with the sacrament. I think it has to do with the society in which we live, which doesn't allow people or help people to truly be reflective on their own lives. The whole contemplative element, I guess you might say, in society is lost. So sometimes it really shocks me sometimes when somebody does come and says, you know, I haven't been to confession in 3 or 4 years, but there's nothing I can think of to say. Mm. What that tells me is that they haven't taken the advantage of, on a daily basis, in a sense, of reflecting upon their own lives.
You know, Grazia, I was going to say that I let people know sin is very much alive and well in our culture, in our society, in our world. And very much like Father Ron, as a priest confessor, it is very awesome and humbling, two beautiful words. And I think it's important for people to realize that priests do not forgive sins. God forgives, but we celebrate with an individual God's love, compassion, and mercy and forgiveness. As we said in the first half of the program, people have to be able to forgive themselves, but it's a very powerful moment. And also, Ron, as a priest confessor, and one priest to another, it is humbling when someone opens their heart before you, and you can really see the presence of God in this moment. And I also like the definition of conversion. Conversion is not necessarily the miracle of the moment, but the task of a lifetime. And during the season of Lent, which gives way to Holy Week, what a better time to really take inventory of our lives and asking people then, what are those areas in your life that need changing? And to be able to really probe deeply. We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi, and our guest, Father Ron Lewinsky, pastor of St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish in Mundelein. We'll be back right after a break.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18-1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, Friday morning in Chicago. Graziano Marcheschi with Father Greg Sackwitz, continuing our very important conversation on the topic of forgiveness and reconciliation. We're talking with Father Ron Lewinsky, pastor of St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish up in
Mundelein.
Is that Mundelein?
Unincorporated Mundelein.
Fremont Center. Fremont Center, that's what it's called. All right. We've got a caller, Joe from the Southwest Side, who has a comment on forgiveness. We'd love to hear what you've got to say, Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. My comment is I keep telling myself, Joe, remember what these deceased priests told you when they were in the confessional when they were alive. If you don't do that, your situation spiritually would be worse than when you broke your wrist and everything. And of course, it's going to be a little sad day this coming Wednesday of Holy Week, because it'll be the 25th anniversary of the death of Father Phil Marquardt. If it wasn't for him, I would have fallen away from the church years ago.
Well, it's good to know that there was a key priest who touched your life and helped you to remain faithful. So thanks for your call and comment, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. God bless. Have a blessed Holy Week.
Ron, the conception is that, as I said earlier, the sacrament has fallen into disuse. And I think some people think, and I think I've been guilty of this myself, that one of the reasons is the emphasis on face-to-face confession. Do you think people are uncomfortable with that, that they're reluctant to go to their parish priest who they know they're going to see at Sunday Mass and confess their sins openly that way?
Well, there's two questions there, I think. The first is, are they comfortable or not comfortable? And I think it depends on the individual. A certain personality maybe likes to have that anonymity, you know. From a confessor's point of view, it's helpful to me when they are face-to-face because I'm also able to read the signs, as it were, the body, the posture, the gestures, the look on someone's face, and sometimes I'm able to serve them better in that way. But I think the other aspect is that I really believe it's a grace of the sacrament of holy orders and the sacrament of penance itself that God only gives me a limited memory. While I'm there listening to the person, I have my full attention on that individual. But I can promise you that 3 minutes later, I couldn't tell you a thing about what that person said.
And Ron, that's interesting because the same applies to me. I've got a pretty good mind in terms of memory, and yet 5 minutes after that person has left, I could not tell you anything. And talk about the anonymity with the box versus face-to-face. Here's a true story going back in the 1920s. Newt Rockne walked into the confessional, and the priest asked Newt Rockne behind the screen, how big is the line? And Newt Rockne said, well, my defensive end is 6'1", 210. My defensive tackle is 6'2", 220. The priest said, I'm not talking about that line. I'm talking about the confessional line. And so he kind of gave away who he was. And now, with the sacrament of reconciliation, Ron, talk about the sacrament of reconciliation as an act of worship.
That's good, because I think sometimes, especially people when they haven't been to the sacrament a long time, or even, for instance, converts to the faith might be a little hesitant, and they're all worried about what they're going to say. I always try to remind them, I said, you know, don't remember it's not just about you. The real heart of that sacrament is really what God says to you. You are forgiven, that God offers his mercy to you. But also, I think what we forget is that the sacrament of reconciliation is a sacrament, an act, a liturgy, an act of worship. And so even as we enter into that sacrament, the heart of it all, too, is offering praise and thanksgiving to God for the gift of mercy and forgiveness that is ours through the saving death and resurrection of Christ. So it's an act of worship. Sometimes we think of it too much perhaps as just something for me, as just for my own personal benefit. But I think if we have that sense of the larger sense of worshiping and thanking and praising God, I think it can help to balance out our experience.
Yeah, I think that's a very key notion and something that's often lacking. I think people tend to privatize a lot of the sacraments, you know, wedding celebrations. It's my mass. No, it's always the church's mm-hmm. worship. Mm-hmm. Tell us what Irish monks have to do with the current form of the sacrament of reconciliation.
Well, those Irish monks have a lot to do with it. I think, first of all, it's important to remember that early on in history of the church, the sacrament of penance or reconciliation was really only offered once, and that for serious sins like apostasy, murder. And the reason for that, quite simply, was baptism is the sacrament of the forgiveness of sins and the sacrament of conversion. So the theory would be that if you are baptized, you shouldn't have to worry about sin again. You're going to live a holy life. Well, obviously, we learned rather quickly that not quite the case. In any event, there was a very rigorous practice called the Order of Penitence, and what was very significant about that is that the sinner had to do the penance first before they were absolved, and sometimes that penance was years before they could really come back to the church and be absolved. The Irish monks enter into the picture because around the 7th to the 9th century, it was the practice in many of the monastic communities, and still is in some, where the monks would come before the community and acknowledge their faults. As just simply an act of humility, trying to perfect their lives and so forth. So that practice of kind of acknowledging their sins was always important.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community of Faith. We're going to continue that discussion with Father Ron Lewinsky, pastor of St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish in Mundelein. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. A question or comment regarding forgiveness, reconciliation, God's mercy, the sacrament of reconciliation. You raise the question, we have Father Ron who has the answer. We'll be back right after a break.
Pope John Paul II is on the fast track to sainthood. One of the major steps is beatification. Now, on May 1st of this year, you can attend the beatification ceremony of Pope John Paul II in St. Peter's Square. A wonderful pilgrimage to Rome, sponsored by the Catholic New World, is being planned at a very reasonable cost. The trip includes the beatification ceremony, a private mass with Cardinal Francis George, and lots of sightseeing, including visits to the Vatican Museum and the Sistine Chapel. Go to the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome for all the details. That's www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome. It's your chance to experience Rome while celebrating the beatification of Pope John Paul II with Catholics from around the world.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and said, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Irrelevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Father Greg Sackowitz. We're talking about reconciliation with Father Ron Lewinsky of St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish. And we have a caller from the Northwest Suburbs with a question and comment. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, hi. Thanks for being on the radio. It's great to hear this. I have two things. Number one is a comment on reconciliation in that at our church and other churches I've gone to, the priests never talk about the importance of reconciliation. They're not talking it up, so to speak. I don't hear the urgency of it, the beauty of it spoken to us. I'm only hearing it on Relevant Radio. And it's so beautiful to hear it because why? I even mentioned it to my pastor one time, and he never took me up on that. I've never heard him ever say anything about it.
I have
and
to second
secondly,
that.
And secondly, we had a reconciliation service at our church a few weeks ago, and they said, well, because people are reticent to go into the face-to-face confessional with the priest they know, we're inviting priests from outside of our parish to come in. And they invited four priests that no one knew, supposedly, in. And I knew three of them anyway. But so I picked one that I didn't know. And what happened was he didn't even give any penance. He He didn't give me any comments on my things that I was talking about, which I thought I was going to give a really extensive confession, and I thought about it a lot and wanted to really tell things from my past. And it was so kind of, I don't know, empty in a way. I felt really bad that nothing was said to me to even give me any kind of uplifting comment. So those are the two things on my mind.
We could give you a real bad penance right now.
No, we promise we won't. Ron?
Well, I think we just need to encourage not only our priests but our catechists to remind people of the value of this sacrament, and especially during a season like Lent is a great time to do that. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think is, unfortunately, sometimes you will run into a confessor perhaps who isn't perhaps the most effective, at least for you. I always say to folks, it's like going to a doctor. If you don't get the right help that you need from that doctor, find another.
Ron, I want to jump in this way, and that is when we have the sacrament of reconciliation, offered like on a Monday at 7:30, and maybe there's 50, 75, 100 people and four or five priests. Unfortunately, sometimes a priest confessor, I don't want to say speeds it up, but knowing that there might be 20 individual confessions or 15 that he will hear, and you don't want to keep people there 3 hours that evening, versus if someone makes an appointment one-on-one at the rectory or in the church, you can spend a lot more time. So I realize what our caller is saying. She felt a little bit empty or disappointed, which is very valid because that's been her experience. But sometimes in those communal settings with time for individual reconciliation, the priest, I don't want to say feels pressured, but that sense of, what word am I looking for, Ron? Not moving along, but maybe not taking the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, that's not an excuse, because each individual penitent deserves that time, and especially a response to what the situation might be.
I have to agree with the caller in this sense. I'm a very churchy guy, right? I hang around in churches. I couldn't count the number of masses I've attended in the past 20 years. I don't think I've heard a single homily in 20 years that talked about the importance of participating in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. I really don't. I don't think priests are talking about it.
Well, that's interesting, because I've given talks on reconciliation, and maybe not the full homily, but
I'm not saying they're not out there.
But, no, right.
But
I think you raise a good point.
There's lots of things I hear regularly,
mm-hmm.
and that's just not one of them.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And Ron, in just the last few minutes, what would you want to offer to our listeners with Holy Week coming up regarding the sacrament and an individual making available to themselves this precious moment?
Well, I would just encourage people to take advantage of the sacrament, and I would especially encourage people who haven't been to the sacrament in a long time. I think the problem is that the longer we stay away, the harder it gets, I guess, to come. But I would want to reassure that person who hasn't been to the sacrament in a while not to worry about what they're going to say or how they're going to say it or format. The priest will confess or will help them through that. And really, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful experience on the part of a priest to have someone come who hasn't been to confession in a long time. It's a joyful moment.
It's interesting that, your comment there, and also the lady who called about 3 minutes ago, we talked earlier that as a priest confessor, I always pray, I hope that I am responding well to this individual where they don't leave feeling empty or a void or I didn't say enough. So that's always, interesting. Also, your comment, Graz, about in 20 years, you really haven't heard a homily about the importance of reconciliation.
Maybe I've heard him talk
about. So that's a good point. Well, listen, we need to bring today's program to a close in the last 55 seconds here. I want to thank in a very special way Father Ron Lewinsky, pastor of St. Mary of the Annunciation Parish in Mundelein, for joining us here on Catholic Communion Faith. Ron, you are now great priest of the Archdiocese. Thank you for all the work you do for the people of God. Special thanks to co-host Graziano Marcheschi, and great work today with our producer, Diane Dunnigan, and our wonderful engineer, Brian Hockey Hitman Brock. And with Holy Week coming up, please take the time. Our lives are so busy. But to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, God's gift to us. And forgiveness is a way to stop hurting. Forgiveness is a gift to oneself. So thank you for joining us. I've been Father Greg Sackowitz. Have a wonderful, blessed weekend. God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.